Hey folks, welcome. Hoping you can all hear me. If you would just type in the chat, say hello. Let me know if you can hear me. I think last time on this group I had a little challenge with my headset. So please do let me know in the chat if you can hear me, and welcome. Hey Leslie. Hi Eva. Great. Yay, thank you. Glad you're here. Andrea is here. Katie. Tanya, welcome, welcome. Going to give other folks who may be joining us just a minute or two to jump on the call. And while we're waiting, I'd love to hear what your answer is for our just for fun question this week. It's summer in a lot of places in the world, and I don't know, it seems like we eat more dessert in the summer, maybe because it's the ice cream thing, but I'd love to hear what your favorite kind of dessert is. All right. Who else? Somebody else. Nicole, welcome. Glad you're here. Eva's a cheesecake girl. Good for you. Shortbread with salted caramel. This probably wasn't a good thing for me to ask, you know? This is going to make me want to go out and have some of this stuff. Awesome. Dessert ice cream, especially U Wisconsin Babcock ice cream. That sounds interesting. Actually, there's a University of Connecticut is in a very rural part of Connecticut, and they make their own ice cream because they have cows on site, and they have a whole agricultural program there and stuff. And so they make their own ice cream. It's kind of cool. So it sounds like it might be the same thing. Nicole's a cheesecake fan too. That's interesting. For me, it's, UW makes her own as well. Yeah, same thing. Yeah, it's kind of fun to go there in the summer. My daughter looked at UConn, and we got to have some of their ice cream. It was great. Apologies. So awesome. Fun, fun. Mine would be anything to do with chocolate. As long as there's chocolate in it, I'm in. I'm down for it. Awesome. And we had somebody else. Let me just see who else joined us. Beverly and Karen are both here too. Welcome. Glad you guys have joined us. Nice group today. Yay. So glad. So glad you're all here. I'm going to dive right in. And I would love for you folks to start with the wins, because, you know, it's interesting. Type in a capital W, let us know what kind of a win that you've had maybe in the last week or so, big or small, doesn't matter. Every win is a win, regardless of size. I am finding that for some reason, this July is starting to pick up. And I don't know if anyone else is seeing that, but I've been getting inquiries like crazy, and I'm thrilled to pieces, couldn't be happier. And sometimes July, August can be very challenging for that. So I'm personally ecstatic that July seems to be active after the holiday, right before the American holiday and right after, it seemed like things picked up. So any wins to share, let us celebrate with you. Please type that in the chat and let us see it. Leslie says an engineering company wants help with the website. Congratulations. Is that a different company than what you're working with? I think you had picked up a company, or is it the same one? Either way, it's a one. Oh, same one. Doesn't matter. It's a win. They are liking you. That means they want you to do more and more. That's excellent. Congratulations. Nice, nice job. Nicole says an editor I work with assigned me something new yesterday. Congrats. That's great. Andrea says had a call with a prospect today and sending a quote right now. Good for you. Fingers crossed. Yes, you're going to get this. You'll get this one. That's great. Beverly turned in my spec for the social media campaign, awaiting feedback. I'm rather happy with how it turned out. Great. Yeah, wonderful to feel that confident, you know, like, you know what? I think I did a pretty good job. It will be interested if definitely post that in Facebook and let us know, Beverly, how that turns out once you hear back. Eva said, time to refocus. That's right. You've been on vacation, turning a few setbacks into being more active in prospecting. Boy, It is still hard. I've been at this for 6 years, over 6 years. I've owned my own businesses for over the course of the last 20, but been doing the freelancing and the writing thing for about 6 years. And I'll tell you, it's still hard when I've got a prospect right now that I would have put them in like the 85% chance of them working with me. And they are ghosting me. They went silent. So interesting. It's still kind of a, feels like a dagger at times. All right. And Karen says, sent a trigger attribute warm email and got a reply of not now. That's okay. Got a reply. Excellent. Katie's working with a highly desirable agency client. Substantially done with one project. My internal efficiency is ramped up way better than I expected. Midstream on another, and internal rate is working out well on this one. Great. Congratulations. Yay. Love to read the wins. And you know what is one of my favorite parts here is that as you folks share these wins is that you're really starting to understand how this all works. And I love that. I love seeing the progression from each of you. Some of you have been in this program for a while, and I've helped you a few times on these calls and seen your questions on Facebook and that kind of thing. And it's great to see everybody just understanding how to run their business better, understanding how to be a better freelancer. And I love that. Love it. Love to see the progression. That's what Ed and I are looking for. I want to help you get be more and more successful. So awesome. 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 Anything in particular that you'd like to share? Any material that you're implementing right now in the system itself, in the accelerator portal, anything that you're trying, maybe trying something new, something different, maybe putting a different spin on what you've tried, a new angle. I know there's a lot of, again, folks that have been here for a bit, so usually there's not as much in the implementing. I think sometimes in this group, people, many of you just kind of have your head down and you're doing your prospecting and you're taking care of the clients you have. So, but if there's anything different or new or anything you've gone back to because you wanted a refresher, would love to hear about that too. All right, a few more people join us. Nick, welcome. There's someone here who's dialed in on the phone with a 447 area code. Don't have a name, but hello and welcome. Don't see your name there. Glad you're here. Have a nice group today. Super. All right. Well, I'm going to jump right into the Q&A portion of the call. And I had a couple of pre-submitted questions. And let me just see if I can find it. And Suzanne Quigley submitted a question. And I'm going to start with her question. And just a reminder for everybody, if you're not able to make the call, that's really what the question, pre-submitted questions are for. So if prefer to have you, if you're going to be here, have your questions ready to go and to type them in and I'll bring you on. We can talk about them real time. But pre-submitted questions, really would like to kind of reserve that for folks who are not able to be on the call so we can help them even though they're not here. So I'm going to start with Suzanne Quigley, who suggested, who had a question. And her question is, how should I go about following up on a potential prospect who was given my name by a LinkedIn connection of mine? The LinkedIn connection told me that she had forwarded my name to a sister company as they may be needing me. Should I just ask my LinkedIn connection if she would give me the contact info of this person? I hate to just let this possible opportunity just sit there. And yes, I agree 100%, Suzanne. Do not just sit by and wait. That's never a good approach. So there's a couple different ways that you can do it. Definitely at least, I wouldn't be shy about asking for the contact information. And a great way to approach this with, so a LinkedIn connection is referring you. First of all, you need to reach back out to them and say a huge thank you. Make sure that you let them know how much you appreciate a referral like that, because it's, they're gold. They really, really are gold. They're easy. When you get referred into a company, as you all well know, the chance of you getting good work and it being a good connection, much, much higher. So just number one, that's a great excuse, Suzanne, to reach back out and say, you know what? I wanted to follow up and say, thank you. I appreciate so much that you are trust in me or have the confidence in me to refer me. And in order for me, and this is a great way to approach this, Suzanne, is I know how busy you are. So if you would be so kind as to send the contact information for that person at the sister company, I'll take it from here. So what you want to do is make it feel like to them that you're doing them a favor in return. Look, I know you're crazy busy. So what, if you would please send that contact information to me or at least their name and I'll take it from there. And that way it kind of takes the pressure off of them and it doesn't feel funny necessarily. I think, because I think if I understand, Suzanne, you feel a little awkward maybe reaching back out. Do not. You absolutely want to hammer that thank you home, make a big deal out of it, fall all over them. If you have a mailing address for them, handwrite a note, a quick little card, get some blank cards, something simple, and just write a thank you. Very, very powerful, especially because if this turns into business, for goodness sakes, it's worth a handwritten card and the stamp and what have you. So definitely do that, the thank you piece. But then again, on the second part is, you know, I know how busy you are. Why don't, if you would, please send the contact information over to me and I'll take it from here. And thank you again for that connection. So I hope that helps. And that is something that is, sometimes it's, if people feel a little bit awkward, but what you want to do is give the impression that you, and let them know, look, I don't expect you to follow up. I'll take care of it. I'll take it from here. This is my, you know, ball's in my court from this point forward. So I hope that helps, Suzanne. If you have further questions, feel free to pop into the Facebook group and post questions in the Q&A thread. Happy to have Ed's input there as well if needed. Excellent. All right. And Andrea, I know you're here and you had a couple of questions that you pre-submitted. I am going to, and one of them didn't seem like a question. It just seemed like you were kind of thinking through things. So I am going to, let me just take a look. Because I would love some clarification from you and I'm hoping you're able to talk. I'm going to bring you on here. So, I am actually going to jump to the second one that you had on here about blogging. And he writes, I have a list of about 30 topic ideas for blog posts and lead magnets. Most of them are about freelance writing, i.e. the way I work, lessons I've learned, etc. The target for those would really be other freelance writers. Other ideas on the list would be more relevant for prospects. Is it okay to go ahead with whatever I feel is easier to write, even if it's the first group? I know a blog should be targeted to prospects, but I would like to make it as sustainable as possible and also considering the issues I'm having, finding the time to do it. So a couple of thoughts here on this, Andrea. It's I know that you're kind of thinking about this in two very different audiences, and I would respectfully disagree. I think that one of the real advantages to being able to write about how you work, the way that you work and the different things that you've learned, is that you can make that prospect friendly. And so if someone's considering working with a freelance writer, reading about how you approach things is actually really helpful to that prospect, because they're going to look at that and think, huh, this person sounds really put together. They sound really organized, very professional. You know, you're telling the story of how you work with your clients and the way that you approach projects. That's really helpful information for prospects. So don't think of this as I've got this camp over here and this camp over there and I can't be in two places at once. Not true. And the way that you write those articles is going to make all the difference. And so my number one suggestion here for you, Andrea, is to really focus on writing in a way that can be beneficial to both audiences, because I think you can. And to get the most mileage out of what you're going to be spending time doing, and you're taking precious time to write these articles, make sure that you're going to get the most mileage out of them. So think about, how can I write it? How can I make it valuable to both audiences? And unless you're planning on starting to teach freelance writers how to do this, I would really kind of put that one on the back burner. But tweak these articles so that you really are thinking about the prospect as well, because that's really more where you're, especially where you're still ramping up, you're still looking to build your business. That's far more important. Sharing your experiences with other freelancers is just, to me, something that I understand that that's kind of fun, and maybe, you know, it comes easier to you, but I would look at each one and see how can I spin this? How can I create an article that a prospect is going to be intrigued by, and perhaps another freelance writer as well? So see if you can put the two together and have that, because you don't want to spend too much time focusing on the wrong audience. I can tell you from experience, my blog is really a mixture of different things. I sometimes put out pieces I write about my opinion about things, and it might not have anything to do with writing or anything else. It might be something that's just what I see going on. And so my target audience is professional women. And there's been a lot of talk and a lot of things going on in the last couple of years. So I might just share my thoughts on an article. I might share my perspective on that. The other thing is that I find that when you start putting a lot of information out, I can tell you that a lot of writers, other freelance writers, come to my website and download my free stuff. So you have to be comfortable with giving that stuff away to anybody, including your competition, which ends up happening. And I know because you have to opt in, obviously, to my free downloads. I know who's taken the stuff. So just keep in mind that, you know, there's your competitors are out there too, and looking at you. So another tidbit to kind of keep in mind as you start putting information and putting articles together for your blog. And I hope that was helpful. And you've got another question here, Andrea, but I'm going to circle back. Someone posted a question on the chat, so it's Leslie. I'm going to chat with her first, and then I'll come back to you if no one else has put any other questions up. All right. Leslie. And I see Karen made a comment about something she's implementing, warm email prospecting, both attribute, trigger, and archetypes, playing around with idea wellspring for future prospecting, warm email prospecting. Awesome. All right, Leslie, I've written web copy, but haven't done a major web copy project before. I'm meeting with the engineering company tomorrow. I think he's just going to want me to start writing. Should I suggest doing a website audit first? I will be asking him fact-finding questions regarding his goals, competitors, etc. Other advice? Absolutely, Leslie. 100%. And I think we talked a little bit about this the last time. So Leslie, I'm just going to bring you on. I'm going to unmute you real quick. Hey there, okay. How are you?
Hello there, good. So this is the engineering company where I did the client research. The president, I mean, I know he's very busy, but, you know, so I sent him the results of the survey and crickets, and I'm wondering, you know, I said I'd like to, you know, be part of the meeting with the web designer, you know, that didn't happen.
Oh, no.
And then, you know, I thanked him for his payment, and he goes, yeah, I need you to write web copy. Let's meet on Thursday. Okay. You know, he's that kind of guy.
Good.
And so I know there's, like, doing a website audit, but I think he's just going to say, I want these pages written, and, you know, he's just going to, he doesn't really get it all, I don't think.
No,
but,
no.
You know, and I know there's doing, you know, website audits where, you know, you would go through and analyze the pages, but I think, you know, I'm basically hired to do the writing. I don't think it's.
Yeah. So just go away and do the writing, right?
Yeah. Just do it, you know, so.
Do it. Yeah. Okay.
I just didn't know if you had any, Any tips on that?
This is common, and I would bet that just about everybody who's listening who has probably run into a client like this, like, I just go away and write. Just write something good, make me look good. And it's not that simple. What you might consider, Leslie, what I'm thinking is maybe take your website audit and cut it in half. Make it super simple. So if I look at, let's say, the landing page, what are the maybe one or two most important things I need to know? If I go to the about page, what are the one or two most important things I need to know? So maybe have a question or two for him about each page and make it as simple as possible that you can send him the questions ahead of time. And then when you get on the phone with him, to say, you know what, I just wanted to get you thinking and let me explain, because you don't want to write questions where he can give you a one word answer.
Yeah.
That's because that's, it's probably, and engineering types tend to be that way anyway, they're not creative. So we have to understand that. The other thing that you might incorporate in there is, are there websites of competitors that you really like?
Well, that's good.
That you could send me to, because I want to go take a look. I want to, because you're not, you know, obviously he's not explaining to you what his vision is. He won't just go away and do it. Send me a couple of others. What do you like? Are you a minimalist? Do you like, because, and he should be, especially with an engineering organization, you shouldn't want too much copy. But you got to set some ground rules with this person, so he understands, look, do you here's what I'm going to do. Are you okay with that? You can also do it that way. Like, if he's answering your questions or isn't giving you a lot of information, say, okay, here's what I'm going to run with unless you tell me otherwise.
Okay.
You know, and just explain to him, okay, I see, I envision the website being about, I'm going to say this and this, and maybe I'm make a couple of points. Your about is going to be, you know, maybe 200 words, 300 words, unless you want more. You tell me, you know, so you're going to kind of drag him into the development process with you by just asking really great questions. And keep it simple, because he's not going to have a lot of patience or time for it. And I understand that. But you need direction. Because what I don't want you to get caught up in, Leslie, is redoing this website six times. Because, oh, that's not what I wanted. Well, okay. Yeah. You know, here we go.
Maybe do one page or something and say, is this what you're thinking of? So I don't do three or four pages. And he goes, no, I don't like that at all. So it's too casual or too conversational, exactly, or whatever.
So the flip side of that, instead of putting him on the spot and saying, what websites do you like? I would go and research a couple of his competitors, bring up some screenshots and say, here's what I was thinking. And it's not competitors that he has to know. Like, you could go to the other side of the country and find an engineering firm to copy, or, you know, to use as a reference, but say, I like the way this is written. It's brief. It's this, it's that. Pick out the points you like. Find a couple of other websites that you do like, and then show him that and say, here's what I was thinking. Is this okay? I'm going to run with something like this. And he can either say thumbs up or thumbs down.
Okay.
Unfortunately, this person, you may have to do more of the heavy lifting as opposed to pushing back on him, because he just keep pushing it off. And it sounds like he's just not going to, you know, he doesn't have the time. So it might be easier to capture a few screenshots and say, hey, I'm thinking about this kind of styling for you. You know, this tone, or, you know, this approach, is this too formal? Is it too casual? You know, using your phrasing, that kind of thing. And just that way you can, because he's not envisioning it. He probably doesn't spend much time online looking at other websites, and probably doesn't think of it that way either. You know, sometimes people blindly land on websites and just read what's there and don't really think about, oh, that's really well written, or geez, I feel very engaged by what I've just read, you know, I want to know more. People don't think that way, so just help him with that.
So I think tomorrow, you know, if I meet with him, and I'll get his input, and then I'll say, okay, well, I'll do a proposal of, you know, I know there's different, like, for the home page, maybe you charge a certain amount, and then other pages you charge a certain amount,
right?
Do you think just do a per page probably amount, because I'm not sure. I don't know if he's going to tell me four, you know. I guess he could tell me the number of pages, but I kind of doubt that.
No. And I wouldn't go per page. No, absolutely not. Because that's something that just, you know. So I would list, maybe, here are the pages I'm anticipating. You're going to need to tell him. And I would think that the web, I don't know if you could reach out to the web designer first and say, how many pages are you guys, you know, what are you guys doing? What did they decide? Because you didn't okay. get invited to that meeting?
Okay. I didn't get invited. I asked to be invited, but I wasn't invited.
Yeah. Follow up with the web designer and say, hey, can you give me an outline of how many pages, and then put your price together from there, but don't do it page by page. I would strongly recommend against that.
Oh, just say, it's going to be $4,000 for doing this amount or
something like that. Yeah. Depending on how big, you know, if he's doing a fairly small site, meaning not many pages, it's only like 4 or 5 pages, then obviously you don't want to charge quite that much. But
yeah.
But if he's got, you know, if they've got all kinds of pages that need work and need time, then you've got to get a sense of how many pages they're going to have and what it's going to look like. Hopefully the web designer will share that with you.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you.
Don't rush to price it until you have more information.
Okay. Yeah, that would be my downfall.
Yeah. No, don't do that. Yeah. Awesome. All right.
Well, thank you.
Luck. All right.
Thank you.
Awesome. Good. So any other questions, feel free to type it into the chat. And I am going to go back around to Andrea. You had the third question in your list was, I've recently started to work with a new client, a consultant in my niche who just launched a consulting agency, and I'm helping her with her LinkedIn profile and web copy. It's kind of a new project for me, but I'm really enjoying it and she seems quite happy. So I was thinking of offering the same service to other professionals in the food, restaurant, and hospitality industry. And I like that idea. Your question was, what do you think? Do you have any recommendations on how to do this properly, especially on the prospecting side? My idea is to use the work I'm doing now as a case study. But then you go on to comment, I wouldn't add those services to my website or LinkedIn. Just keep that under the radar. So Andrea, I'm going to unmute you because I do have a question or two about this. Hello there. Can you hear me?
Hello there. Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. So is there a reason why you would hesitate to put this as a service on your website? Is that something that you're just thinking about rolling into an existing package? Or I just want to understand what your thinking is there.
Well, my hesitation is simply because it's a new thing that I'm trying. And I wouldn't even have, that would be my first project like this. So my idea is that when you try something new, that is fairly, well, it wouldn't be completely new. I mean, the niche would be the one where I work, but when it's something fairly new, maybe you want to, I don't know, have a couple of projects under your belt before you actually put it on your change your positioning
to
have that.
Well, it's not so much, you know, I'm not sure it would be a change of positioning. I'm thinking more that it's just a different service, you know, that I have the same kind of thing. I do. It's not something I actually took it off my website because it wasn't something that I was spending a lot of time doing. But for a while, I was doing a lot of LinkedIn profiles and that kind of thing. That was something I spent a lot of time doing. But it's still for the same audience. Do you know what I mean? So in other words, because it sounds like you're still targeting the same audience. And I think that people in this particular industry could really use the help.
Yeah, if I can tell you the truth, the other reason why I was thinking of not changing my website for now is that I've just spent a good part of the first game plan working on my own website and positioning, and I kind of like to
leave not, it as is. No.
Yeah. Or no. Well, and you. Of course, I would have to work on it again, but at least for I don't know 1 or 2 months, just not thinking about web copy.
No, makes sense. No, I think this is a great add-on service. The other alternative for you is if you have a like a program sheet or packages sheet, something that you would hand to or email to a prospect. So you've had a good conversation. Uh-huh. They want to know more about everything you offer. Maybe you have a nice Word document or something, maybe even something that's been, a graphic designer has helped create for a PDF for you that says, here's the services I offer, my service offerings, without, maybe with or without pricing, your choice. But that might be something as almost like a la carte. So in other words, you can add, I also work on these kinds of things if you want to add them to any of my existing packages. So that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Thanks. Yeah. My other question would be, is there anything different that I should do with prospecting? Because, you know, this would be, these managers of mid-sized companies, that those would be basically freelancers like me. So I was wondering if there's anything different I should do with warm email prospecting, or I should probably, I don't know, maybe use more LinkedIn. What do you think?
If that's where they are, you know, if LinkedIn is the place where these folks are, do they spend their time there? I mean, mm-hmm. Is it important for, do you feel that LinkedIn is important for these folks to have a good profile on LinkedIn?
I think so. Well, the one I'm working with right now, she is planning to do most of her prospecting on LinkedIn.
Ah, okay. And, yeah, so that's really important. Gotcha.
And actually, I met her through LinkedIn, and I connected the other day. I connected with another one who could be a good prospect for me. Maybe nothing will come out of it, but still, it came from LinkedIn. So I have the feeling for these folks, LinkedIn is more with companies with marketing managers, it's kind of, you know, half and half. Sometimes I'm more successful with email, sometimes with LinkedIn, but I have the feeling that with those people, probably LinkedIn would be more like a better choice.
Sure. Well, another option for you to think about would be to start a small list, a secondary audience. So still focus on your target, your primary target audience, continue to warm email prospect to them the way you have and grow that list. But you might start a secondary list. Maybe pick out 5 or 10 people that fit the same profile as the woman you're working with right now. They're the same, mm-hmm. They're going to have the same needs. And maybe just start reaching out to them and doing something a little bit different. Saying, you know, LinkedIn has become such an important thing for people in this industry, but your profile really needs to look great and I can help. You know, that kind of thing. And maybe tell the story of the client you're working with now, change her name and that kind of thing, or, you know, just refer to her as a client of mine and mm-hmm. tell a little bit of a story about, you know, what she was looking to do with her profile and why, because you don't have a result yet. You're still, you know, cleaning it up, making changes. So you don't have a result to share, but you could even talk about her why. So in other words, she came to me and asked me to do this because she wanted to X, Y, and Z. She had the following goals in mind and didn't feel like she was could do it by herself. She really wanted some help with writing it properly and that kind of thing. So maybe just throw out a couple of warm emails to people like that tell the story of this client and see what happens.
Yeah.
Do a little testing. I wouldn't go crazy. I don't want you to spend a lot of time away from your primary market. Only because if this is, depends on how much you're charging for this and is it worth your time? So just, and only you can make that decision, but are these ticket items, are these big enough ticket items that it's worth your time doing that?
Yeah, this is something I need to find out myself as well.
So, definitely.
Yeah. I would be cautious with it. All right, thanks. If we have time, I would just have like the first question that I pre-submitted.
Sure. Yep.
Okay.
So I've got two other folks I want to get to on the chat, but then I will come back around to you.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, thanks. Good question. Sometimes it's important to just test the waters, but it's always worth taking a look, stepping back and saying, okay, how much money am I actually going to be able to make And is it worth my investment of time to pursue these types of clients if the ticket isn't big enough and it's really not going to make a difference in the long run? It's nice to take these things on here and there. And that's exactly the way I approach it. I don't promote that I do LinkedIn. I really don't talk about it too much anywhere. But sometimes people will come to me and say, you know, can you help me? And of course I will. But it's just not, for me, it's certainly not where my gravy is. That's for sure. That's not the biggest ticket item that I could be putting my time and focus into. So important thing to think about when you're looking at, there's a big need out there, but is it worth your time? All right. It's going to help you reach your goals. I guess your income goals is probably a good way to look at that. All right. Nick put in a question in the chat. And his question is about tapping my network, especially if it's people I haven't talked to in a while. What's your recommendation on doing this as gracefully as possible and phasing it in such a way that people who don't really understand what I do would be able to know if they could help or not? Great question. This is something that in one of Ed's other programs for people who are just getting into freelancing, this is a whole module, I think, that he talks about, or there's a whole section in there that he talks about reaching out to your network and how to do that gracefully. So Nick, I will give you just a real quick, I guess, a kind of a rundown of a way to phrase that. I did this when I first started. I was actually, I was in one of Ed's programs, and I don't remember which one it was, honestly, but I was in, and he, it might've been the beginner one. A while back and several years ago, and it was send out an email announcing your new gig, or even if it's not that new, and let your network know. And I was scared to death, didn't want to do it. I felt stupid. I thought, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And it turns out that I got one of the biggest projects. I had no idea. I sent these emails out, felt like a fool, and I just thought, oh well, I'm just, you know, I'll just have to ask forgiveness at some point or something. And turns out people get back to me and were incredibly positive. So just know that it's not going to land on people quite the way you're thinking. So here's what I would recommend, Nick, in regards to doing this gracefully, is to make your email as casual a conversation as you could. So imagine sitting down, having coffee with a friend, a good friend, and say, hey, did I tell you what I'm doing now? I'm doing this writing work. And so I love it because I get to do this and this, or I get to work with these kinds of people. So what I want you to think about, Nick, is writing an email that just is just like a conversation with a really close friend. It's the same way we approach all our writing, hopefully. And that it's very conversational. You know what? I haven't talked to you in a while. Wanted to let you know what I'm up to, having a lot of fun doing this work. The kinds of folks that I work with are X. Please do keep me in mind if you come across anybody who might need my help. Period. Don't overdo it. I don't want it to be too long and too sappy. But talk a little bit about how much fun you're having. Talk about why you're passionate about it, if that happens to be appropriate. So blend in some of that and just say, hey, and I'd appreciate if you keep me in mind if you come across someone who might need my help, and leave it at that and really keep it simple. It's entirely possible, and I don't know off the top of my head, I can make a note to look this up, but it's probably in the training portal somewhere. There's probably something in there about tapping your network. I'd have to go back and look because I don't have it memorized off the top of my head, but I want to tell you to go back into the portal and look in the trainings and just go through some of the connection and marketing, especially marketing and reaching out. Let's see. Taking a quick look because there's and if not, you know what I'll do is I'll look to see if there's something, because there also might be something on Ed's blog. So tapping, I'm just making a note here, network. what I'll do is I'll go ahead and post it in the Facebook group once I find some resources for you. But go back into the portal and just take a quick look, breeze through. And in the meantime, I'll do the same thing for you. So it's about being conversational and really just being friendly and say, hey, you know, by the way, and email me back. I'd love to hear what you're up to. You know, you could close the email, something like that. And I'd love to, you know, reply back. Let me know how things are with you, you know, and really make it incredibly friendly. And that's that, and you'll feel better about it. And it works incredibly well. I got some business right away from my network that I wasn't expecting. And I was feeling very apprehensive. So number one, go for it. Don't miss the opportunity. You never know where that work's going to come from in your network. And then phrasing it in a way so that people who really don't understand what you do would be able to know. I think that this is something for you. My favorite, you know, putting in something about, I help people. It's sort of like our tagline, you know, our value statement that we work on to develop is, you know, I help, whatever it is that you put on your website. And it might be something like, I help healthcare companies create powerful marketing material. Now, that statement doesn't say anything technical about what I do or what I don't. You know, it's very broad and it's intended to be so. So you might want to use something like that or a version of it. You might want to rework it to fit it into your email so it doesn't sound too salesy or markety, that it sounds more conversational. But I think that's that would be the approach that I would take, honestly, Nick. And let me know in the chat if that answers. If not, I'm happy to bring it on if you have other questions. Just let me know. And Suzanne, welcome. I'm glad you're here. I see that you put in a question. I answered your question right off the bat when we first started the call. Anybody who's typically not on the call and so pre-submitted a question usually start with those. So it is in the recording. I did suggest a couple of things for how to reach back out to this connection. And so definitely listen back to the recording when we're done, and it'll be posted probably today, either by the end of the day today or first thing in the morning, and hopefully that'll give you enough time. But no, definitely, I said don't let it just sit there. Definitely go for it. And I gave you some examples and ways, things to how to approach that so that that you're able to make that connection and get moving with that referral. Tanya says, let me see, Tanya's next question. My problem is, make sure you type in a Q so that I don't miss it if you do have a question. Tanya says, you'd love to look at the training too about tapping your network, struggling with that, how and whether to reach out to your old network. So yes, Tanya, old network, even if it's a couple of years, sometimes that's even better. A little bit of distance from people in your network isn't a bad thing. If they are people that are the only, I guess, thing to think about is that are you connected with these people on LinkedIn or Facebook, anywhere that you're particularly active? They may already be seeing what you're doing. So just be kind of think about that, think through that. It doesn't prevent you. It should not prevent you from reaching out to older connections, people that are in your network, especially if you're doing it by email. You can do it by LinkedIn, but I think taking it off LinkedIn and putting it on email is a better approach for reaching out in this way, because this feels a little more, I think it just lands on people a little bit differently. As far as like a subject line, I would do something really unique in the subject line too, by the way, with this email. And that's for both Nick and Tanya, is to come up with something, something kind of, and depending on how well you know the person, you want to send these emails out in a way that if you don't have too many of them, if you can customize each one, that would be fantastic. that's even better. But if you've got quite a few and you want to be able to blast the same message, you can do that as well. It's just a matter of being careful about how you, obviously, how you write it. But subject line should be definitely something that gets there is attention getting and not just hello or, but you definitely want to say, hey, wanted to let you know about my new gig or something that's going to get their attention that, that isn't a standard subject line for that email. And again, I'll take a look and get, I will post that in the Facebook group for you in a training about this, as well as anything that Ed has for resources around tapping the network. I will definitely let you guys know. I'll find out and I'll get that out there today if I can for everybody. And Tanya, I'm not sure if you have any further, you put in a question there. I'm not quite clear if that's a question. Oh, hold on. And Jen, you asked a question about the email that I sent out. With the email that I sent to my network, she's asking, did I send it to people individually or was it a group email? I had, oh gosh, probably close to 200 people on my list network that I wanted to reach out to. So I actually did that very casual conversational style email and I pretty much sent it to everybody. I sent the same thing to everyone. And because, you know, I wanted it to sound sincere and authentic. And I really did end up, I got a lot of really great feedback. People just said, hey, so great to hear from you. Thanks for bringing me up to date. And I did end it with a hit reply and tell me how things are in your world. And people did. So even though it was kind of a group email, as you're saying, it went out to a lot of people, the exact same message. It was well received. And you can do it either way. As I mentioned, if you don't, if you've got maybe 50 names, you might want to take the time to do that. If it's a smaller sampling, you know, 50 or under, you might want to take the time to do them individually and add a little personal thing to each one. It really depends on how much time you have and what you're trying to accomplish. But that's a very much a call that you have to make based on what you're trying to accomplish and who you're writing to. Tanya had an add-on question. My problem is that I really haven't been in touch with these people for years. Would you still take the same approach? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And that was the exact case for me. The one big project that I got, I hadn't spoken to these, it's two women who are partners in a business out in Columbus, Ohio. And I hadn't seen them or spoken with them, had any interaction at all for, I'm going to say 4 years, something like that. And they ended up hiring me to quite a big project for them. Started out small, grew. The next thing I know, I had a multi-year agreement with them and it was great. So it just, and I didn't see it coming. It was really wonderful. We had no idea. But yes, that was a couple of years. That was a good couple of years since I had any conversation with them at all. So I had left off in a good place with them. You know, we parted amicably. We were, you know, friendly and I think we both had mutual respect. So that helped. That was kind of the only criteria. I did a few of the what the hecks too, or I stuck some people in there that I thought, I'm not sure if, they, you know, if how this is going to land on them because you know what, if they delete it and I don't hear from them, oh, well, it's okay. It's because you just, as I mentioned, you just never know. If you mention tangibles in your email as well. So, and I work on things like websites and sales letters or newsletters or emails or blah, blah, blah. You know, if you mention just a few of those things that are easily identifiable to the common person, then they're going to understand what you do pretty easily. And sometimes that's just enough. If you put in, oh, I work on websites. You do? Oh my goodness. That is enough to trigger someone to say, oh, I know someone who's building their new website. Let me put you in touch. So definitely want to keep in mind, sprinkle a few words in there, not too many, but just a couple. I'd say three at the most, maybe four of the core things that you do so that people say, oh, I know someone who's redoing their website, or geez, I know someone who could use help with that. And it helps them, again, keep it simple. But yes, definitely reach out, even though it's been a while, sprinkle in some words that'll help spur their thinking. And doesn't matter how long it's been. And then Nick followed up with a question about this would apply to friends and family, not just past work connections. Yes. And the Facebook crowd as well as LinkedIn. Yes, yes, and yes. Absolutely. And that's why I was saying go real super conversational. If it's friends and family, it's a super casual connection. You might just tweak that email a little bit more beyond what you already have in terms of that casual approach. And that's up to you. If it's former work connections, you might tidy it up a little and make it a little bit more crisp and professional. Entirely your choice. Or you could send the more professional one to everyone. That works too. So entirely, again, you know your network best and how that will land on them. Jen says, I have a question about trying to write video scripts for clients when I haven't done that before. Jen. All right. Where'd you go? Hold on. Whoops. I had you there and lost you. I am going to unmute you, Jen. Hi there.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. You're a little broken up, but I can hear you. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, I will try to summarize this briefly. And just to give you some context, so I have a retainer client who I've worked with. He's a real estate agent. I've worked with him for 2 years. And I started out doing these interviews of people in the community, like in businesses and activists and different people for his blog to give some content around the neighborhood, right, and the people. And then when he became partner of his firm, he thought he loved them so much, he was like, I want you to now do them for our agents, for the work that they're doing volunteering in the community, you know, when they work on different projects. So I've been doing that regularly too. So now he had an, can we do video?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, oh, and because I guess they're experimenting with this idea on Nextdoor. You can buy a Nextdoor membership and then you can upload 2-minute videos on Nextdoor now. And so their idea is to interview somebody in a neighborhood like the Butcher, you know, the same thing that I'm writing about, but to just do a 2-minute video with the agent and the Butcher and something that's very moving about the, like, I love the idea, but I don't really do this. So I said to her, I don't do video. I mean, I know how, but that's not something I do professionally, but I do know people who do. And I know people who do this for real estate agents for like client testimonial videos for two right. minutes. So right. Let me check with them and let's talk about this. She said, that's great. I would love it if you would talk to them and talk about this, because I don't really know what I'm doing, but I trust you. So I did. I have two people I know that could do it. And I checked with the first one and we sort of brainstormed this. And I said, I would like to be involved. You know, what do you think of this idea? And she goes, I would actually like you to be involved, because the hardest part for me is while I'm doing the video and then of course the editing afterwards is getting those moments out of the people that are interviewing. And I don't feel that confident to work with someone I don't know interviewing somebody else. It helps if they have something written and somebody can coach them through it.
Yep.
We do it quicker. It's much better. It's more natural. It makes more sense.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Now I'm kind of in, you know what I mean? As I'm exploring this, and as you were just talking to the person before me about LinkedIn, right? Mm-hmm. I was thinking, I have to really think about, is experimenting with this worth my time? Because it's not going to pay me very much. Although, you know, the video person who's doing the heavy lifting is going to get the bulk of it. And then two, how do I set that up? Like, is this worth me really understanding? Like, is this something that I would take on with my client? Because the relationship is important. And also I know what exactly what he's looking for, because I kind of started this idea. So I get it. And then I would just pay her, you know, what she would charge me. Like, these things are all kind of bouncing around in my head, Susan.
Sure.
Any thoughts?
Yeah. Great questions. And congrats on this. I love it when I hear about folks getting deeper and deeper into relationship, if you will, with their clients, where they're just feeling they're more and more the go-to resource. So awesome. Here's what I would do. I did a series like this with a client, a woman from California who wanted to do this. I think she had like 12 or 14 videos that she wanted to produce. So what we started with was I interviewed her just one-on-one. Her and I were on the phone and I said, okay, so tell me what you know about this subject, whatever the topic is. And she just prattled on and I typed and I actually recorded it. And then what I did was I actually transcribed it, so to speak. I had checked my notes against the recording to make sure I'd captured everything. And I kind of summarized, almost bulleted, here were the major things you said. And I sent it back to her. She went, oh no, get rid of that, but keep this. And so together we worked on creating those items. So what I would recommend here for you is that from a script perspective, don't let the word script intimidate you, because it's not necessarily a script. Mm-hmm. You are not going to type word for word every single word these people say. What you're doing is you're bringing up and getting some bullet point prompts where they can read a handful of words and go, oh, so yeah, I wanted to say, and it's just enough to keep them flowing through their thoughts. So think of it more as, you know, video scripting is cool, actually, because it's kind of fun. I enjoyed my project very much, and I hadn't really done it before either, but we worked together, and hers was a little different because her videos were longer, a bit longer, so we had more material we had to kind of, you know, work with. But for a 2-minute video, you want to find out what they're trying to accomplish with the video. And then coming up with what are the key words that you want to ask this person. And I would interview them ahead of time and just say, how would you describe yourself this way or that way or whatever, right? So you need to understand the outcome, what they want the video to accomplish. Then you figure out what questions do you want to ask the person to help them shine. What are the most important? And there might be something you want to ask a question too that is going to get them talking, or something that's really going to hit the heart, so to speak. So when you talk to this person the first time, one-on-one, again, this is just over the phone and you're just trying to gather their specific information, ask them a heartstring question. So in other words, what's your fondest memory of? What's most important to you about? What are you passionate about? So try and pick a question that's really going to get them to open up a little bit about why they love what they do, or again, not sure what the video, you know, what they're trying to accomplish with the videos, but that will really showcase their humanness. Because I think that's probably what they're going for here is just, yeah, we want to show that our realtors are human beings that aren't just about selling houses, they care about people. And that's most likely what they're going for. So, you know, what are you proudest of? Mm-hmm. You know, is it your family? Is it your, you know, what's your proudest moment so far or something like that? So think about words, questions that are, again, going to target their heartstrings a little bit so you can really understand kind of what makes them tick as a person. Then you can go back and kind of massage that down and create a list of speaking prompts for that person. And that's, you know, that's kind of that would be my recommendation for how to approach that. Does that make sense? I mean, do you see where I'm headed with that?
Yes, that makes perfect sense, because that's what I do now. I just write it out afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
So I do the exact same thing. That's how I started. I talk to them over the phone. It's a conversation. I record it. I take a few notes, but then I go back, I type it all up, or I get it transcribed.
Yep.
And then I create the questions from that. because I know that I've gotten out of them in the course of the conversation, just what you're talking about.
Exactly. And no different.
So
video is no different. It's actually, that's why it's quite fun.
Right? Yeah.
It's really no different than what you're doing right now. So.
Well, this is it actually. Yeah. I mean, this is why I didn't want to say no right away, just because the video part intimidated me, because this idea of the scripting sounds fun to me. Like, I'm like, oh, I would sort of love to try that. How do I shape this so that I can do that? Mm.
And not every video opportunity is going to be the same, but based on what you've told me, I think this makes the most sense. Some videos are longer. Some videos have an outcome. So what do we want this video to do when the viewer views it? What's the action that we want them to take? What's the message we want them to take away? So you really need to understand the why behind the video before you create your questions about, okay, what are the best questions to ask this person to help them be themselves, as much themselves, and really get the message across. Yeah. And then you're just massaging down the backside, exactly the same thing that you're doing right now. So that's really cool. Very cool.
Huh, that's great. Okay, awesome. So then I really ought to keep going with this, because this could be a...
Yes, you should.
Great. That
absolutely
was really helpful.
And so the other thing too is to keep in mind that, you know, when you're looking at your time, this could be, a lot of people do this. You know, there's a lot of people, and depending again on the length of the video, if it's a training video, you can make some pretty good money working with someone to help them develop the script for their training. It can be lucrative. So keep that in mind.
Well, yeah, this is a great client to start that with, because he's all about video and he's heading up this whole training segment for all their agents.
Excellent. Excellent.
I didn't even think of that. Great.
Great opportunity.
All right.
Good. Well, good luck, and let me know. Yeah, definitely keep us posted in the Facebook page. Let us know how that goes.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Let me see. All right, Sharon is the next person I see with a question. You said you jumped in a little late. Am I the only one that finds clients' edits soul destroying? Just let me know if you have a further question there, or you're just having some fun. And welcome, Sharon. Glad you're here. All right. So, Katie, you're the next person on the list. Per game plan advisory, I've gone back to the beginning of my warm email prospecting list to restart the series and have added a third. List now is in the neighborhood of 500. Very nice. I've probably worked through the first 200 again. Some I'm at various points in the series, but many have received two or three. Also received LinkedIn invites and nothing. I can and will soldier on, but it's feeling like an obligatory exercise with no reward except for maintaining my warm email prospecting. Absolutely. And I see Nick had some thoughts for you too. Yep, it had to do with the quality of the list I'd built. I had too many smallish companies that were probably never good bets to begin with. That's a great question, Nick, and thank you for sharing that. I agree. That would be the first thing I would think of in regards to your list. 500 is a lot, but I'm wondering if it's falling on deaf ears, if it's just the list isn't strong enough. And to go back and take a look at, is there an opportunity for you to start looking at adjacent markets? Is there an opportunity for you to level up one and see, okay, is it most of my targets on this list are maybe they're they're a certain size of company. So maybe there are 50 employees or less and they're just not responding because they're too busy or don't have need. I would start to diversify that list. That would probably be the number one thing, is to take some of the time that you've been putting into warm email prospecting to actually sending those things out and take a little of the time away and start researching and adding, maybe create a second list of a new tier of target market. So just try something different and see if you get a better result. Because it sounds like you're working your tail off here, Katie, and it's not getting you anywhere. So we certainly don't want that to continue to be the case. And I like the idea of just mix it up a little bit. Try going in a new direction. All right. And I'm hoping, let me see. Suzanne says, I agree. Yeah, Suzanne, great feedback. Thank you for sharing that. I bet I've sent out at least a quarter of the warm emails that you've sent, and I've had at least a couple of solid leads. So I agree. I agree. And Sharon, thank you for sharing that script writing resource. That's awesome. Thank you. All right. And I'm just looking through here. Katie, you're getting some great feedback. And I'm reading through here just to see. There's types of follow-up. Okay, good conversation here. I'm sorry, I'm just reading through. Sorry for the silence here. Just looking through. Let me see. Katie, if you still want me to, if you want to come on and talk a little bit about that, please type in again in the chat with a Q so that I can find you in all the comments. And I'm going to move on to Lucia. She has a question. I'm at a different point than most participants, just setting up my website, though I've been freelancing for a long time at ad agencies and independently, word of mouth. I'm transitioning to all writing, video script, and other writing. My question is, how do I start getting a network together? I've been participating actively in a Facebook group, a large number of holistic medical practitioners, my first niche idea. Do I set up my website and ask people to contact me, subscribe to my email list, or publish on LinkedIn? So Lucia, it's going to be a little bit of everything here. It's a multifaceted approach. And I'm going to actually, let me see if I can find you. I'm hoping you can come on. I'm going to unmute you, Lucia. Hey there, how are you?
Okay, fine, thanks.
So you are you changing your target audience? Is that what I'm understanding? I just want to make sure.
Well, I've been working for medical ad agencies, and I don't want to be working in writing medical copy. That's not what my goal is at all. I've been editing mostly, sometimes doing presentations like PowerPoints where I do the writing, but I don't want to be advertising pharmaceuticals. And so my idea was to aim for a related field that has to do with health, but not pharmaceuticals specifically.
Gotcha. And so do you are looking to build a network in this area?
Yes.
So what kind of network would be helpful? So in other words, who would be perfect to put into your network to help you with this?
Well, I've been participating in a forum on stem cells and stem cell treatments.
Okay.
And there are a lot of doctors and clinics in that forum that have been participating. So that's one area. I've been writing an article on medical tourism.
Oh, that's right. We talked about this.
I think, yes.
Right. Okay.
And I have some other ideas, but I think I'd like to keep it somewhat focused on the health-related topics for the moment, just to not become too spread out and kind of diffuse my energies. So I mean, because there's been a lot of confusion about topics related to stem cells, I thought I might write something and try to publish it on LinkedIn, which is a sort of you know, network by attraction kind of thing.
Absolutely.
But that's a little bit harder to do, as people have said. So, I mean, I could look up stem cell clinics and send them a couple of samples or direct them to my website. I'm just not sure how else to go about it besides to look for more groups to participate in that have to do with health and prevention and nutrition or you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I think that, like I said, it's a multifaceted approach. So you're not going to do any one thing. You're going to do a little bit of everything in regards to, especially when you're trying to build up a network. I think that you're going to, in the beginning in particular, where you're just getting, you know, heading in this direction, I think that you want to be have a healthy mix of reaching out to prospects as well as people that are just good connectors. And in its program, he talks a lot about people that are like, you know, golden nuggets or connectors and those kinds of people who could just help you get connected with the right people. And that's going to take a little bit of time on your part. I think writing and posting things on LinkedIn can be very powerful and very helpful. And as well as on your blog, on your website, so that you can use that as a warm email prospecting. You know, you're going to use all the same approach, but you're going to kind of step back a little bit and look at maybe just obviously changing your tact a little bit in that you're now heading in a new direction. My question for you about the people who are already in your network, is there any connection at all with some of the people as you think about, as you go through and, you know, maybe look at a handful of people in your network that you're already connected to? Is there any way that there would be would make sense to tap into them to help get this started for you? People that already know you, that you've worked with, not necessarily the agency side, but others.
Well, I mean, the projects that I've done privately through my just word of mouth have been really varied. Like sometimes they're medical articles for doctors or in other countries, and I'm sort of rewriting the article to try to help them get published. And then other times it's been, you know, I had a project last week where I edited a book for a sociologist. It's kind of a personal memoir, but it's really unrelated to the other things, you know, that my niche area. I'm kind of a little bit at sea when that, as far as that goes. There are some people in the ad agency world who don't do completely medical stuff anymore, and I could try to send them my information just to sort of see what happens, you know.
Yeah, I know, it's interesting because we've been talking a lot about this today on this call in terms of, you know, leveraging your network and reaching back out to old contacts, you know, people that you haven't talked to in a while. I think that I'm always surprised, and I was surprised when I did this however many years ago, is there were people that reached back out to me who they themselves didn't need my help, but knew, even if it was someone, you know, maybe they were a realtor, but they knew somebody who was in the market that I was targeting. Like, but I know this person. So I think that you might be selective, and this may take a little bit of time, but go through your connections and hand select even 10, you know, five or 10 people that you can reach out to and send that same kind of I'm heading in a new direction and I wanted to let you know, and I'm excited about what I'm doing. Please keep in mind if you know anyone that might need my anyone that I could help. So I would go with the same approach, to be perfectly honest, but maybe scale it down instead of going out to your whole network, because you know, many of them aren't a fit. But I think I would be a little bit bold in this, because you've already got, these are people that would refer you because they know you and like you and trust you. It's the know, like, and trust, right? The KLT that we talk about all the time. So I wouldn't hesitate to reach out to at least a handful of them and see how it goes. And maybe start small. same thing here, is just pick out people that, you know what, I think this person would be very receptive to hearing from me about this. And just, you know, pick 10 and try it and see what happens. And kind of go through your, and it's a little bit time consuming to go through your network this way. But it sounds to me like, I think there's probably some gold in there. There's probably some people in there that could help connect right. you. Mm-hmm. And because going all cold, just trying to reach out to people cold is difficult. You know, that's anybody who's starting. And if this is really a direction you want to go, then why not leverage the people who already know you and trust you and be willing to share your information with other people. So I wouldn't hesitate to do that. Even if it's a small list, start with a handful and see how they respond and see if that works.
Okay, thanks.
From there. Yeah, I just think that would be the best thing. And also when you're talking about do this list, you know, this outreach to people that you know, but also I would write a few things and post them both on your personal blog, on your website, as well as mm-hmm. on LinkedIn. And right. I usually post things on my blog and then give it a few days and then I put it on LinkedIn. But I start being a little more active on LinkedIn and using the right keywords. And I think you'll find that people will start picking up on what you're writing about. But it's, you know, and on LinkedIn, it's definitely about keywords, just like it is on your website as well. So the blog there.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
I have one more question that's related.
Okay.
Would you use networking events? I mean, sometimes I think because of my experience as a writer and editor and having tried to start a small business once, that networking events might be a way to connect with people who need a writer.
Yes, or, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think anybody on the call could tell you, it's amazing what happens at networking events. I have focused more, I don't go to a lot of networking events anymore, unless it's really the right, it's the right audience for me. But what I do, honestly, is I do a lot of workshops, where mm-hmm. I'm teaching people about, because I help people write their books. I have it's an easy fit. But think about what kind of a informational, even if you do a webinar or be a guest speaker. The other thing, you know, we talk about, this is when I was saying multifaceted, are there podcasts out there that people in this target market might be listening to? And see if you could become a guest on a podcast. That's a fun and easy thing to do. And getting in front of the right audience. Maybe there's some podcasts for holistic medicine, you know, in that industry, or anything that you want to focus on. I'd do a little research on that, see what's out there. The other thing you might think about is guest blogging. Being a guest blogger. So same thing, take a look around. You'd never know, because you never know who's going to come across that and read it or hear it. Mm-hmm. I've gotten some great leads from all of those places. You're not going to get 100 leads, but you're going to, you know, even one or two. It's nice to get some, it's nice to get some feedback from that. But those are all, again, multifaceted. Think about lots of different ways that you can get in front of the right audience.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck and let us know what happens.
Okay.
All right. Some great questions today. And lots of talk about network. This is really fascinating. Let me just go back through and make sure that I didn't miss anybody with questions. There's been a lot of great comments and information being shared. Yep, and I love that the Katie said, Felicia, in case you miss us towards the end here in the chat, you're in a good place to reach out to adjacents because you're a proven provider. I agree 100% with the work that you've done with agencies. You should be able to look at adjacent markets and reach out to them and get some good traction there. Let me just take a look. Whew. We have been busy today. This group is always good. Lots of good questions, lots of good feedback. If I've missed anybody, please let me know. We've got a few minutes left here. If I've missed anybody, please let me know, because I've been busy talking and you guys have been busy chatting it up on the chat. So I don't think I've missed anybody. All right. I'd love to hear. We've had some really great conversations, great questions today. Anything that kind of stood out, feel free to type in a V, capital V, and anything that's the most valuable for you. And love the support that Katie, that you're getting on the chat. It's really, don't hesitate to use the Facebook group for support on that as well. But I think fine tuning your, trying some slightly different, building a second list and maybe trying some slightly different leveling up and that kind of thing that we've been talking about and people have been sharing in the chat. It's worth trying, experimenting. Don't hesitate. So in other words, you know, if months have gone by and you really aren't getting the results that you want, don't wait. Try something new. And I don't want you to try something new every week, but if it's been a month or two, you're really not getting any results, you're really not getting any response, try something new. Just go to a different place. Stick your toe in the water in a different place and see what happens. You know, try a different leveling up, trying a different adjacent market. Try something new. Just do something a little bit different and don't wait too long, because what ends up happening is, especially with the marketing, it's not the most fun part of our day, right? It's something that, you know, some people enjoy it, most of us don't. It gets to be, if you're not seeing any results, it just gets so heavy. It gets harder and harder to do. So we don't want that to happen. So be reasonable. Definitely go to the Facebook group or come here and ask, am I being unreasonable? Have I waited, you know, long enough? Should I be trying something new? If you're not sure, but don't wait too long. Don't let too much time go by, because it does get heavier and heavier and harder to lift that that prospecting task if it's not producing for you. But anything that's been valuable, please let us know. Katie, let me see. Oh, Eva says, reaching out to your network. You said you've still never done this personally, social media posts, but no, not one-to-one, going to do this during my prospecting this week. Eva, please let us know how that goes. It's fascinating to me how receptive your network can be. Even if it's been several years, don't worry about it. Just reach out and say, hey, how are you? I was thinking about you. I wanted to let you know what I'm doing and how is life in your part of the world? And make it really conversational. I think you'll be pleased with the results from that. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And I'd love to hear about it. Tell me how you do. We want to hear about it in the Facebook group. All right, Tanya says, also still terrified to reach out to my old network, but I'm going to try it too. Again, Tanya, small steps, pick five to reach out to begin with and just see how it goes. I sent a couple of emails. I may have broken my list up into like smaller, but the first one, I may have told the story and some of you may have heard this, but I literally had the email ready to go and I went to hit send and I jumped up from my desk and ran out of the room. I couldn't do it. It was so silly. I'm thinking, okay, I'm a grown professional. I'm a grown woman and I'm a professional and I'm running away from my computer because I am that scared. So terrified is not too strong of a word, Tanya. I'm right there with you. I probably got up and walked away three or four times before I finally just hit send. I just hit, you know, clicked enter and it went. And I gasped and said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just did that. And then the next thing you know, I'm talking with three different people about projects they need. Well, and then after that, I felt even more foolish. I was like, really? What was I afraid of? I was afraid of getting work. Well, that's kind of silly. And sometimes we have to put ourselves out there a little. All right. All right. Well, I am going to wrap us up. Any action items that you're going to be jumping into? And it could be something we talked about, maybe something new that you heard today, or just anything that you're planning on doing in the next week to 2 weeks. Any action items that you want to share? Just type in a capital A and let me know in the chat. I'd love to see them. Network is a powerful thing. And if you've treated people well and they, again, know, like, and trust you, then it's a great place to find business and to find work. Even if it's been a while. And that's something I'm guilty of as well. So I've pivoted probably twice at least since I sent that first round out, and I never sent out more. So I'm guilty of it too. It's been several years. I've pivoted my business. Now I'm doing something completely different. Would it be worth sending that out to again? Absolutely. It absolutely would. All right. Eva says prospecting. Never addict prospecting. Absolutely. Lucia says getting your website up. Feel free to submit that too for review if you'd like, Lucia, if you'd like some feedback. Happy to take a look at that for you. And Bev says, what Eva said. Excellent. All right. Suzanne says, now that my positioning exercise is done and I have my new website copy, embarking on some heavy duty prospecting and LinkedIn. Awesome. Leslie says, I'll get a clear idea of my client's website project before offering a price. And I like the idea of trying a new prospecting approach. Absolutely. As long as you're prospecting, trying something a little bit different, like a one-off, an adjacent market or something, why not? It's worth giving it a try. All right. Anyone else with a thought, something to share, an action item? Any other comments? I hope this has been helpful today. It's been a lot of fun. It always is. This is a great group. You guys are very active, and that's what makes this call valuable for you and for anyone who might tap in and listen to the recording. Super valuable, super helpful when you all share what your experiences are as well. All right. Well, middle of July we're looking at. So, right, today's the 9th. We're almost into the middle of July. Well, I hope the rest of your July goes well. I'll see you all back here in just 2 weeks. Have an awesome rest of your week. Keep cool if it's hot where you are. And I will see you folks all on Facebook.